morning, everyone. Here's something I want to tell you that is my experience of all of human life. Everyone is waiting for something.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room is waiting for something. Everyone in this building, everyone who walks up and down the street outside there, everyone is waiting for something. Now, you could be waiting for Christmas. Is anyone waiting for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yay. Is anybody waiting for Christmas to be over?
Yeah.
Yeah, see how much better that was? You could be waiting for the woman of your dreams to come and steal your heart. But if you're married, don't be waiting for that. You could be waiting for the man of your dreams to come and steal your heart. But if you're married, it doesn't play to you as well. You could be waiting for a new job, a new opportunity. You could be waiting for a divorce. Let's pray. You could be praying for deliverance. You could be praying for healing. You could be praying for comfort. You could be praying for peace. You could be waiting and praying at the same time for lots and lots of things. You could be waiting to have a child. You could be waiting for someone to be born. You could be waiting for a new opportunity to open for you. You could be waiting for a bus. You could be waiting for a train. You could be standing on the street waiting in the rain. But are you waiting on God? Let me ask you, what are you waiting for? In the silence of your heart and your mind, I'll give you two clues. The thing you pray about the most, that's what you're waiting for. That's what you're waiting for. And the thing that you're waiting for should be the thing you should be praying for. So turn your waits into prayers. And I mean waits as in waiting for. Don't be impatient, but be patient in prayer, Paul tells the Christians in Rome. What are you waiting for today? You can answer that question in your own heart. I've got things I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for things to happen. I'm waiting for things to happen in my life that I've prayed for a long time, that I've asked God for, to move in my life, and I'm still waiting. Somebody once asked me, he was a young Christian, he said, how do I grow in patience? I said, you're just going to have to wait. And you're probably waiting right now saying, when is Mikey going to tell us what he's actually talking about today? Well, here we go. I'm going to tell you this. We're going to be looking today at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Today's message is called The Long Wait, and you'll understand why very clearly in just a couple of minutes. You'll understand why. We're going to be looking at the scriptures today. We're going to be looking at the coming of the Messiah today, because it is Christmas after all. And I want to look today at an origin story. But I want to look at your life, and I want to look at my life, and I want to look at your experience, and I want to look at my experience. I want to see what God is doing. So will you pray with me as we begin to look at God's word this morning? Would you stand with me for one more time, if you wouldn't mind? Would you put a hand on your heart? Just one hand on your heart. That's what I'm asking you. Lord, today, you know what we're waiting for. You know the longing of every heart and of every mind and of every soul here today. You know, Lord, the pains, Lord. You know the awakeness at night. You know the anxieties and the fears. You know what we're waiting for. So today, Lord, as we stand here now and pray patiently in your presence, we pray we would hear your voice for our situation, for our circumstance, for our condition today, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our seats. Let him who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit might say to you today. I'm going to start today with an origin story. And the origin story I want to look at today is the origin story of a guy called John the Baptist. Has everybody heard of John the Baptist?
Yes.
John the Baptist, great. John the, and by the way, if you've read the Bible even for a week and a half, you're going to know this whole story today. If that's okay, we're still going to go into the detail. John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. When he was asked who he was, he said, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, when he quoted the prophet Isaiah. But it's not the only place in the Old Testament that John the Baptist was prophesied about. In fact, the very last words of the Old Testament prophesied the coming of John the Baptist. The very last words spoken in the Old Testament. And these are they. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. It's a very Christmassy message today. The prophet Elijah is referring, believe it or not, initially to John the Baptist, because the prophet Elijah would come in two stages and two phases, just as the coming of Jesus is a two-stage coming. But I don't want to get too bogged down in the detail of that prophetic history, but let's just say Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the Elijah who was to come. It was Jesus gave him that specific designation, but it's there more as well. So these are the last words of the Old Testament of the Bible. And the last words in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, you can read them in your Bible, they were uttered 430 years before Jesus came, 430 BC. And after those words are uttered, something terrible happens. This is what happens. It's followed by the long silence. 430 years, no prophets, no angels, no moving of the Holy Spirit. And if you were an Israelite living in that land at that time, the following 430 years would be a nightmare. What would you see happening? You'd see Alexander of Macedon come and invade your land. You'd see Antiochus Epiphanes come and invade your land and walk into your temple. You would see the successors to the Persians and the Medes come in and take your people, slave and enslave your people again. And then you would have had the joyous experience of waiting for the Romans to come. Hey! And everybody knew how happy the Romans were when they invaded. You would have gone through disaster. Now remember this, this long silence lasted for 430 years. Let me put that in today's money or today's time, if you will. It means that the last time the Holy Spirit had moved upon someone and they had prophesied was the year 1594. That's how long ago it was since the last time somebody spoke under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Silence. A very long silence. Have you ever had the silent treatment? Yes, there was a sniggle of knowledge there. Has anyone here ever experienced the silent treatment? You wouldn't dare raise your hand, would you? Has anyone here ever given the silent treatment? Let's move on. Silence. Silence. Nothing said. Silence can be very, very hard to bear. You know, I'm a quiet fellow myself. I don't think I find it hard to bear silence. I find silence difficult. I find it very refreshing and restorative, but I find it difficult. Today there are people in this hall who believe that God is giving them the silent treatment. The Lord is not giving you the silent treatment. God speaks. His voice goes to all the ends of the earth. His voice wants to speak to you today. Today, if you have ears to hear, the Lord will speak directly to your situation. Open his word and his spirit will bring his word alive to you. If you want to hear God's voice today, stand still for long enough that you may hear it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because this time of silence is over. It's over. And we're going to read Luke's gospel to see how this time of silence comes to an end. Are you ready for a good story?
Yes.
This is Luke writing. Luke chapter 1. He says, in the time when Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were righteous in God's sight, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So here's Luke setting up this story, a really important event. And he points out the facts. He deals with the facts. He says there was a guy who was around in the time of Herod, the king of Judea. Now, Herod's time in Judea wasn't filled with flower arranging and pottery making. He was a brute. He was a violent and evil man. In all of his 36-year reign, if the historians record, that there wasn't a single day passed when he didn't execute someone. Single day in 36 years that he didn't execute someone. He was a brute. So this was not a good time to be alive. This wasn't a celebratory period in the history of the Israelites. But during that time, they still worshipped at the temple. And even when times got hard, they still prayed and they still looked to the Lord. Do you, when times get hard, look to the Lord? He is our only hope.
Yes.
There was a priest called Zechariah. Zechariah, do you know what Zechariah's name means? It means God remembers. It means God remembers. And he had a wife called Elizabeth, whose name means God's promise. And I love what it records. Both of them were righteous in God's sight, observing, blamelessly observing all the Lord's command. And he's a part of a priestly division that has been in existence for 1,440 years since the Israelites left Egypt. It was established by Moses in the wilderness and carried on through from tent to tabernacle to temple and still continued on. So he is inheriting a great inheritance of people who served in the presence of God at the temple. And here he is at the temple on that particular day. Both of them were righteous in God's sight, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Something's missing in our perception of this picture. And Luke is setting it up very wisely. He says, here you have a priest who's part of the order of Abijah. He's a descendant of Aaron. And this priest is married to the daughter of a priest. They're good people. They do all the right things. They love people. They serve. They give. They give of their time, their talent, their treasure, their souls. They trust in God. They pray. They fast. They do everything right. And yet still, the deepest longing of their heart is left outstanding. The one thing I guarantee you that they wanted was withheld from them, despite the goodness of their lives. Don't fall for the nonsense that tells you that if you do everything right, God will bless your life. He has no choice. That's not true. Sometimes things are withheld from us. With this, somebody asked me the other day why everybody isn't healed. And here's my simple answer. There and then, I know this. Two things. God knows everything. And he can do anything. Can I get an amen to those two things? So therefore, if he hasn't done something, there must be a reason. And so these two people, I'm thinking about them a lot. All this week I've been thinking about them. And I was thinking, you know, imagine what was their life like. So they're married probably around the time when Elizabeth is 16. They're now in their 60s. So they've been married for probably 40, maybe more years. No doubt in that they're older people at this stage. And they've been praying and longing for a child. That's what they want. They want to have children. They want to have a family like everybody else wants to have a family. Like every other married couple in their culture. And most people in this culture, they just want to have children. That's what they want to do. It's so natural and innate to them. And yet still it's withheld from them. And in that period of time, year after year, month after month, they are disappointed. Every month comes, hope rises. And then hope falls. The 28-day cycle of the curse falls upon Elizabeth. Month after month after month. Prayer after prayer after prayer. After prayer after prayer after prayer. After month after month after month. I did the brief calculation. Somewhere around 540 months have passed. 540 times her hope has risen, only to be dashed and disappointed again. And I think at this stage, they must have said, Lord, what did I do wrong? What is it about me, Lord? Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten my prayer? Have you forgotten the longing of my heart? Lord, you gave Zechariah, my husband, you gave him the name the Lord remembers. Will you remember me? Will you remember us? Will you hear and fulfill your promise? Silence. But you know what they did? They kept serving. They kept showing up. They kept praying. They kept trusting. They kept living blamelessly. You know, so many people, they give up when things don't work out. They're like, I tried being a Christian, but it didn't work out. They got more trouble. Yeah, Jesus could have said, you might, you know. But they kept going. And they're both very old. And I suspect that at this stage in their experience, they've probably given up on this hope and on this prayer. Imagine what that was like. You've been disappointed 540 times. Would you still be praying? Amen. Would you still be serving? Amen. Would you still be following? But one day, I prophesy there's a one day for people in this room. There's a one day coming for people in this room who had a longing of their heart withheld or a pain that they've been struggling and suffering with. One day is coming from you. Because when we read one day, it is God's day, not just any random day. When Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot. Oh yeah, just luck, just chance, just circumstance, coincidence that he happened to be pulled out. No. Chosen by lot was the revealing of God's will. And so Zechariah is serving in the temple. Now this is important. He's been serving in the temple since he was very young, probably around the age of 20. He's been serving in the temple probably for 40, somewhere between 40 and 50 years, because they didn't retire because of age, they retired because of infirmity. It was only when they become infirm that they were no longer able to serve. But this is really important. He was chosen by God, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go up into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. You only did it once in your entire lifetime. This was the day, if you will, that Zechariah's number came up. Zechariah, yes! I've waited 44 years for my name to come out. I've watched Simeon's name come out. I've watched Moshe's name come out. I've watched Levi with delay. It's my name, hallelujah! And the lad has pulled up and his name is picked in this once in a lifetime chance. Talk about the long wait. He's had a long wait for God to move in his life. He's had a long wait to get to this opportunity to serve in the way that he's about to serve. He's waited so long. And then one day, chosen by lot, how it comes. It says he was up to the temple of the Lord to burn incense. When the time came for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. What is that about? So, you see, Luke is containing these details that are really important. You see, the burning of incense was symbolic of prayers being offered up before God. And this was his once-in-a-lifetime chance to offer up the prayers on behalf of all of the people of Israel before God. And all the other worshippers were gathered and they were praying outside just at this moment. So what would it have looked like? Well, if you had gone into the temple back in the day, you would have... Can you see me if I stand over here? Yeah, I hope you got it. Doesn't matter, you're stuck with me. And you would have gone into the temple, and in the temple there was a thing called the altar of incense, right? And it was right in front of the curtain. Now, if you knew it, let me just explain to you very simply. When you went into the temple, you had what was known as the outer court, and then you had the holy place, and then you had the holy of holies. So he's actually inside here, just next to this place, behind this curtain, and literally it was a curtain, was the holy of holies. So behind the curtain, that's where God's presence is, and he's standing outside at this table. And what happens is a priest comes in and he brings hot coals from the fire outside in the courtyard and he places that on the table and then he reverses, he walks backwards out of the place and then in walks Zechariah. He's on his own, no one in the temple, and he begins to sprinkle incense over the hot coals, and as he does, it catches fire and smoke begins, a beautiful smelling incensey smoke starts to go up, and people believe that as the smoke went up, the angels took the prayers of the people and brought them up into the presence of God. You know your prayers are incense. Do you realize it? Amen. Your prayers are incense. They bless God. He loves the aroma of your prayers. Because your prayers are full of faith. Your prayers trust in him. No matter how simple, how small your prayers are. They don't have to be spectacular. No matter how simple your prayers are. They are incense and acceptable before God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So they're all worshipping and they're all waiting. And you know, Zechariah is standing there. And as he offers up these prayers, he's offering up his own prayers too. Lord, will you remember and comfort? Would you comfort my loving wife? Lord, she doesn't deserve this. Lord, have mercy on her. Show her your kindness. Show us your kindness. Lord, give us your great consolation. Give us your great comfort. Thank you for the honor of serving you. This once-in-a-lifetime chance. Hear my prayer. Hear the prayers of our nation. Our nation are waiting for their Messiah. They're waiting for their Liberator. They're waiting for their Saviors. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Emmanuel. Come and rescue us. And then something unexpected happens. A moment in time happens for Zechariah. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. Just at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Have you ever been gripped with fear? No, you haven't, because you're all so fabulous, aren't you? Oh, I have no fear in me. Ah, the mouse! You've been trust me. The angel appears to him standing at the right hand side of the altar. And this is really important. You see, it's a detail that Luke leaves in the story. You go, what's the significance of the right hand side of the altar? What's that about? One, he's talking about the right side. Anything that happens on the right side in the Bible talks about strength and power and influence and honor. You know, instead of Jesus come, he sat down at the right hand side of God in heaven. That's what Paul tells us when he writes the Hebrews. We're also told that the right hand was a symbol of strength. It was your strength. If you used your right hand, you were a strong person. And it says, even the book of Proverbs says, the wise man goes to the right, the fool goes to the left. You can figure out, probably not talking about politics. What he's saying is that the wise man leans on his strength. He uses strength. He applies his strength. He applies his wisdom. And so here we have the angel appearing at the right-hand side of the altar. So if you're right-handed, you are blessed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I would like to issue an apology now to everyone who is left-handed and everyone who is left-handed adjacent or left-handed associated. In this church, we welcome lefties and righties. In this church, everyone is equal, whether slave or free, Jew or Greek, male or female, left-handed or right-handed. I hope you will accept my humble apology. Amen.
Amen.
The angel appears. The angel appears. Now, I want you to see one more detail here that isn't explicit in the narrative. When he's standing here at the curtain, can you see me?
Yes.
When he's standing here at the curtain, on the other side of the curtain is the presence of God. That's where God's presence is. That's where it lives. If you know your temple, the presence of God's on the other side. You can't just wander in behind the curtain if you're in the mood, because to do so, you'd be struck down dead and people worried about priests being left in the temple on their own. And then it says, the angel appears to him. No, watch this. You see, don't leave, no, when I can't see you, okay? You see, what we don't see is that the implication here is that as Zechariah was burning the incense and the smoke was going up, he's still here?
Yes.
As Zechariah was burning the incense and the smoke was going up before him, up to the Lord, out from the presence of God, stepped the angel. He was behind the curtain all along. He was behind the curtain. Many of you here, and I have too many times in the past, felt as though God was very distant. God is very, very near. He's very near. One of the promises of the New Testament is this. Who will go up into heaven and get God's word for us? Or who will go down into the earth and get God's instruction? But Paul says, but the word is very near to you. It's right beside you. Remember this, even if God feels distance, it's an illusion of your mind. God is near. He is omnipresent. He is always present. And he is always there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Remember that when you go to your prayers. God is near. Will you repeat it with me?
God is near.
Hallelujah. And of course, Zechariah gathers himself in his best English accent and says, oh, hello, it's so nice to see an angel on the temple floor. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. What's the first word the angel says? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Can you get it into your heart and into your soul? Don't be afraid. Can I get it into my heart and into my soul? Because he's standing there and he's startled and he's gripped with fear. He's like, because for the second time that day, Zechariah thinks that his number is up, but this time in the bad sense of the number going up. He thinks he's probably going to die. The angel of the Lord appears to him. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And then, wow, what a prayer and what an answer he gives him. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. You will call your son John. John McGuire. As I was preparing for Thursday, the Lord spoke to me for you. Brother, can I prophesy over you? I believe the Lord wants to say this to you, that you were prepared in your mother's womb for the purpose and calling he has placed in you. The Lord has put his spirit upon you since you were young. You have stood out from the crowd, and though you have often wrestled with the call of God in your life, it is the call of God in your life. though you have looked at yourself and wondered, am I really the person God is calling? And other people have looked at you and thought, how can that be the person God is calling? The Lord would say to you, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Do not doubt the calling and the purpose of God, for he has called you and named you and anointed you from your mother's womb for the purpose that you are now serving today. I offer you that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are to name him John. Do you know what John means? What does John mean, John? It means God is gracious, John, okay? God is gracious. The grace of God. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many people rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Even before he's born, God's Spirit was going to rest upon him. He continues on, and as Zechariah stares dumbstruck, he will bring many people of Israel back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord. Remember Malachi's prophecy, in the power and spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their child. I just said that like Donald Trump, actually, just realized that. He's going to be like, Elijah. So good. So amazing. The spirit of power, how good is that? To turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because they weren't prepared. And sometimes we're not prepared for God's move. Yes, we may wait. Yes, we may pray. But you need to prepare as well. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Prepare for God's promised answer to come to you. Prepare for God to fulfill his promise, to fulfill his word, to send his gift to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to go back to Zechariah, the most amazing priest. Go ahead. Such a great experience with the angel, best angel available. We leave it there, so. It's just beyond belief. It was unbelievable. Probably the greatest ever angel that has ever come to anybody comes in this story. And it's true. Watch. Zechariah says to the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. How can I be sure? Like, let's loosely translate it. What are you talking about, boy? Like, I'm bait. My wife is bait. I'm exhausted. And I'm going to have a son. And you're waiting on me now. Really? Can you just imagine the Indians in this tone? And the translators, how can I be sure of this? Like, what do you mean? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Listen to what Zechariah had done. Zechariah looked at himself. He looked at his wife. He looked at his body. He looked at his age. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at human biology and all of human experience up to that point. And he said, how can I be sure of this? But as Zechariah looks at all of these things, the one thing he doesn't look at is he doesn't look at God. He doesn't look at God. He doesn't lift his eyes to heaven and say, Lord, I know that I'm beyond this. I know I'm supposed to be past this, but you can still do it because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. He forgot the psalmist who said this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the courts of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Even in old age, they remain vital and green and they still bear fruit. Hallelujah. He forgot what God had said. He looked at everything. And sometimes we look at everything. We look at the economy. We look at the housing market. We look at our circumstances. We look at ourselves in the mirror. And we go, how can God possibly do this? God can do anything. Hallelujah. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I know things. Gabriel literally means the strength of God. I stand in the presence of God. Hello, Zechariah, I'm not kidding you, right? Like 15 seconds ago, I was standing behind the curtain in the presence of God. I am Gabriel. Stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you, to tell you this good news. Hallelujah. Has anybody here seen the Netflix movie, Mary? Have any of you seen it? Have any of you seen it? Good. For those of you who haven't seen it, delete your Netflix account now. It is absolute rubbish. It is trash. It is nonsense. I mean, they even have Joseph and Mary escaping with a fast ox holding the baby. At one stage, right, Joseph stabs a Roman soldier and Mary kicks out the window to jump out of the burning building. It's like, oh, for the love of... It's like Jerry Bruckheimer's after meeting with, like, it doesn't matter. It's the biggest load of nonsense. If you've seen Mary on your Netflix, just... Trust me on this one. It's nonsense. And there's a Gabriel in that. Gabriel appears. And Gabriel is a creep. He looks like a fellow who... He looked like a creep. He sounded like a creep. He was dressed like a creep. He looked like a fellow who... I better not explain what he looked like. Anyway. I am Gabriel, he said. I am one of the archangels. A name that would have been known to Zechariah. I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And then the good news is this. And now you will be saved. After the long silence, you will be silent. I'm not able to speak until the day that this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true when? At their appointed time. Because God has his ways, and God has his plans, and God has his purposes. God knows what he's doing. Can you get an amen? He has his timing, which has nothing to do with our timing. We go, I've always thought it was really harsh. Like, why would he make him silent? It actually says that the Greek word is mute, deaf, and dumb. He was deaf and dumb until the baby would be born. And Tom covered so much of the story the Friday before last, but he was going to be deaf and dumb. Now I was like, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? Because he didn't believe God. Because he didn't believe this. Why? Why? Because he had prayed for it all of his life, and when the answer comes, he didn't believe it. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Have you ever prayed for something in the heart, and you just open the door, and then the door opens and go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Does that ever happen to anyone here? It happens to me. When it finally happened, but it's more than that. You see, they've experienced a long history of the silence of God. And no, Zechariah's silence will be symbolic of the voice of God about to speak. And boy, when he speaks, you can read about it yourself a little bit later in Luke chapter 1. When he speaks, what he prophesies and what he says is absolutely powerful. But for the people waiting outside, when Zechariah comes on, and they said, what, Zechariah, are you okay? What are you saying, Zechariah? His silence was a sign to those listening outside. His silence was a sign to all the other priests and all the other people serving in the temple. His silence was a sign to the neighbors. His silence was a sign to those who were praying. His silence was a sign that something awesome and amazing had happened, and God was about to bring to fulfillment the promises that he had made to his people Israel. That's what his silence was about. But we don't like sometimes the way God works. I know you're always at peace with it, but I'm not. I gotta tell you the truth. I'm not always at ease with the way God works. Say, Lord, why didn't you move sooner? Because I know better. As you well know. Why didn't you move sooner? When will this door open? When will this person come to know you? When will this person's heart be turned back towards me? When will I turn my heart back towards this person? You see, to us, we don't like waiting. We don't like it. But you know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Anybody know the rest of them? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We even put in a song. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Patience is right in the middle. Isn't that interesting? Patience is right in the middle. You see, we don't like waiting. Because to us it seems like such a waste of time. Such a waste of time. I'm so sick of this wasting of my time. My time is going down the drain, and I'm waiting for this breakthrough, and it's not coming. But Louis Giglio, this is what he says. He says, to us, waiting is wasting, but to God, waiting is working. He is working away on his plans and on his purpose. And during those 430 years of silence, during that 430 years of patience and long waiting, God was at work. And even if it's silence and patience that you're experiencing now, or the impatience of waiting you're experiencing now, God is at work. How do I know? Because Paul tells the Roman Christians who were getting their heads kicked off them for being Christians, he told them that God causes everything to work for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. God is at work. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And of course then, just in time. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. And I love the lovely phrase he used next. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Maybe got a few details. The Lord has done this for me. The worship band to come up, and I want to ask you a question as the worship band are coming up. It's a really simple question, is this. What are you waiting for? What is the longing of your heart that has been withheld thus far? What are you waiting for? What opportunity, what door? What blessing, what protection are you waiting for? Because God is on the move. Can I get an amen? And part of being a person of faith is to say, Lord, I don't understand these things. I don't understand what you are doing. I don't understand what you're doing with my time and in this time and at this time. I don't understand. But I know this, that the psalmist says this. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Can I get an amen? Are your times, let me tell you this, all of your times are in God's hands. Whether you surrender them to him or not, your times are in his hands. He is the one who decides the time of moving in your life. He decides your birth. He decides your departure at the end. Your times are in his hands. And if you've got a longing in your soul, a longing in your heart that you're waiting for right now, let me tell you something that I know about the character of God, because I read his word and I've been around his people for long enough to know this. God is never too early and he is never too late. He is never too late. He never moves too late in your life. He never moves too early and he never moves too late in your life. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing and we're going to pray just in a moment. What are you waiting for today? Have you got something in your heart and in your mind now? And that's probably been going through your mind right through this message. Lord, you know I'm waiting. Would you bring that waiting before the Lord today? Will you raise your hand if you're waiting on God to move in a situation, on a person, on a circumstance, in your circumstances, in your situations? If you've got a prayer like that today, just raise your hand. Will you raise the other hand with it? Here's what I'm going to do, because we've got just a little bit of time. I'm going to ask you to come forward. We're going to make this real here, because something that you need to pay attention to is that Zechariah's prayer was answered when he was in the temple with the people of God. So maybe today will be your one day. Maybe today will be the day where God finally moves in your situation. So as we sing, we're going to sing Age to Age He Stands and Time is in His Hands. And then we are going to pray together. John.
And age to age he stands, and time is healing.
that you're waiting on, waiting for. Will you raise it before the Lord? You don't have to identify it to me. But you can identify it to the Lord. You can whisper it to the Lord. You can speak it to the Lord. That which has been withheld, which is a longing of your heart and your soul, very often so deeply, deeply personal. I'm standing with you, brothers and sisters. I'm standing here too. I've got a longing. I've got hopes, feelings, and prayers that I lift before the Lord here today. Let's pray. Lord, you know the longings and the pangs and the pains of every heart and soul in this hall. Lord, nothing we hold before you is held lightly by you. Today our prayers go up before you, Lord, as incense before you, Lord. Hear our prayer, Lord, as it rises up to your dwelling place. Lord, hear our prayers as it goes up before you today. And ask you simply, Lord, will you move in our situations? Lord, I pray that we would all be, all carry and remember. Bear with us, Lord, the name of Zechariah, that God remembers. I thank you, Lord, that no one in this building today, no one in this room here today, Lord, is forgotten by you, Lord. Lord, your names are carved on their hands, O Lord. I thank you, nobody has been forgotten by your grace, for you came to rescue all of us when you sent Jesus your Son. So, Father, as we come before you, we lift up this longing, this prayer, this weight, this pain, whether it's for a loved one or a situation we've been locked out of, whether it's a circumstance that we can't escape, a diagnosis that's breaking our hearts, a letter from a specialist or a doctor that says we are in trouble. Lord, like Hezekiah, we lay that letter before you. Say, Lord, hear what they're saying. Fulfill your promise to us. Lord, for those that we love and we long for, those that we carry in our hearts daily, we bring them before you now, Lord. Will you move by your Holy Spirit, Lord? Will you speak to those that we love and we long for? We pray, Lord, that this coming season will be a season of healing. Can I get an amen? Lord, we pray it will be a season of provision. Can I get an amen? A season of doors opening. Can I get an amen? A season of longings being fulfilled. In Jesus' name, can I get an amen? And so, Lord, we commit all of ourselves and all of our times into your hands. We commit and submit our lives, our hearts, our souls, our circumstances to it. Hear our prayer. Lord, for those that are here today who have a longing, I pray our Holy Spirit would take a word and apply it to their souls, that they would leave here today encouraged and not discouraged. Can I get an amen? Lord, that we would all realize that we remember before God and that God always keeps his promises. Can I get a final amen? Let's sing right where you stand. Age to age he stands.
Age to age he stands. And time is I'm not afraid of the dark.
don't look at ourselves. We don't look at our bodies. We don't look at our circumstances. We lift our eyes to you today, O Lord. And as we go into this coming week, Lord, I pray, we would nearly trip over. We spend so much time looking up to you, Lord. I pray this week we would lift our prayers. Let them waft before you all of this week, Lord. And I pray, Lord, there will be testimonies of good news, of breakthroughs, Lord, of healings, of hearts healed, and wholeness brought about, Lord. We don't look at ourselves, Lord, but we lift our eyes to you. You began the good work, and you will bring it to completion. Hallelujah! So we commit our times into your hands. We commit our homes, our heads, our hearts into your hands. May we know your presence, your power, and your protection all over us this week, we pray. In Jesus' one and only mighty name, and God's people said a final. Amen.